you can print out my outline from the website if you'd like to. We are still meeting out at Kalita at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and we are practicing all of the CDC guidelines as we do that. We'll see how long the governor lets us keep doing that. So we're going to dive into our study of the book of Acts, and we're seeking the life and the Holy Spirit that they experienced at that time. This message is for October 4th of 2020. It's entitled Paul and Barnabas Separate, and it's taken from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. Some time since I open a message with a joke, so I'll try to do that today. This is a conversation with a person I met recently. I asked, "Are you a Protestant or a Catholic?" He replied, "Protestant." I said, "Me too." "What franchise?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Me too." I asked, "Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" He said, "Northern." I said, "Me too." We continued back and forth for some time, then I finally asked him, "Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist Great Lakes Region of 1912? He replied, "Northern Conservative Fundamental Baptist Great Lakes Region of 1912. And I said, "Die, heretic." Yeah. It's a joke I found. But sadly, in my 69 years of life, I've seen this happen in several churches where people divide over foolish, silly things like that. My outline is this: disagreements and separations. Number one, disagreements will come. Number two, disagreements are caused by sin. Number three, disagreements can be used for good. Paul was a natural-born adventurer and could never stay in one place for very long. He decided to take a road trip again, but this journey's startup ended in a tragic rift. So we're going to read from the NIV Reader's version of Acts 15, 36 to 41, and it says this. Sometime later, Paul spoke to Barnabas. "Let's go back to all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord," he said. "Let's visit the believers and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, but Paul didn't think that was wise to take him because Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia. He hadn't continued with them in their work. Barnabas and Paul strongly disagreed with each other, so they went their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul took Silas. The believers asked the Lord to give grace to Paul and Silas as they went. Paul traveled through Syria and Cilicia. He gave strength to the churches there. That's the end of our scripture for today. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul would have nothing to do with the young man who had deserted them in Pamphylia. So the Message translation reads like this of Acts 15, 37 to 39. Barnabas wanted to take John along, who was nicknamed Mark, but Paul would have nothing to do with him. He wasn't going to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, jumped ship on them in Pamphylia. Tempers flared. They ended up going their separate ways. That's Eugene Peterson's translation. That's the end. So point number one on our outline: disagreements will come. The truth is, life is full of disagreements. And what I think is, God has the right to use people who disagree with me. People don't have to agree with me for God to use them. Disagreements will come, A, because we all sin. A, because we all sin. And underline all. Because we all have a flesh, is what the New American Standard Bible writes. Because we all, the NIV says, have a sin nature. Paul will try to explain this to the Corinthians like this. He's talking about divisions in the church, and I'm going to read from the NIV Reader's Version, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't speak to you as if you were guided by the Holy Spirit. I had to speak to you as if you were still following the ways of the world. You aren't going to grow in Christ and become who He wants you to. You're still like babies. The words I spoke to you were like milk, not like solid food. You weren't ready for solid food yet. You still aren't ready for it. You are still following the ways of the world. Some of you are jealous. Some of you argue. So, aren't you following the ways of the world? Aren't you acting like ordinary human beings? One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Aren't you acting like ordinary human beings when you do that? The end. This reads like Paul has learned, has grown in the Spirit from his early years in Acts 15. Paul writes that to the people who are believers, people who are born again, people who are saved. Living in this way is what one would call a carnal way of life. It's not caused by the unspiritual things that one does, but fundamentally by one's lack of yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. So you aren't carnal because of this unspiritual things you do. You act carnal because you're not surrendered, yielded to the Holy Spirit. A carnal Christian does unspiritual things because they're carnal or fleshly. A person who has God's Spirit may walk after His Spirit, or they may walk after their flesh. So there's the bottom line. If you're born again, you have the choice to walk after, follow the Spirit, or you have the choice to walk after, follow your old flesh patterns. It's your call. Disagreements will come. Here's B on your outline. Because none of us are always filled with the Holy Spirit. Because none of us are always filled with the Holy Spirit. I underline none and always. Only Jesus was able to maintain this connection. Here's the truth. One needs to stay plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. Living in the Spirit is much like plugging something into an electrical outlet. It works really well when it's plugged in, but if you unplug it, it stops functioning. And that's pretty much the way it works with the Holy Spirit. Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back to all the towns we preach the word of God. Let's visit the believers and see how they're doing. So that reads like a really good idea. Does it to you too? What happened that they got into this big fuss? Why did the Holy Spirit and Dr. Luke write this for us? Paul and Barnabas were proclaiming the good news of God's grace. Yet they lapsed back into old flesh patterns from time to time. They didn't give grace to each other. The disagreement between Paul and Barnabas was fleshly. Some say they were supposed to slip it up. Maybe. Yeah, but the sin was not their splitting up, but how they split up. See, going separate ways is not sinful, but the way they did it, the anger and the tempers that flared, that is sinful. Disagreements will come. See on our outline. Because sometimes disagreements are supposed to happen. See, because sometimes disagreements are supposed to happen. And underline supposed. In the Bible, there are events, even wars, that were part of God's grand drama. In God's plan, there were separations that took place that were designed to happen. If you read from the NIV Reader's Version of Galatians 1:8, suppose even we should preach a different good news. Suppose even an angel from heaven should preach it. I'm talking about a different one of the good news that we gave you. Let anyone who does that be judged by God forever in hell. Next, look at the NIV Reader's Version of 2 Thessalonians 3:14. Paul writes to them, keep an eye on anyone who doesn't obey the directions in our letter. Watch closely that person. Have nothing to do with them. The end. So Paul writes that there are some things that you separate over. So there are sometimes some things so important that one needs to separate because of it. What might they be? How should one separate? A divisive issue of our day has been a continued endorsement of same-sex marriages. Note that when one deals with this situation, one needs to live in and act in and from love, not judgment or shame. Sexual sin, God's moral laws, what's that mean to each of us? Jesus made it clear that one needs physical purity sexually. Jesus also made it clear that one needs mental purity as well. Not doing sexual things is a lot easier than not thinking about them. Do you agree? So, is one sexual sin worse than another? If a man has sex with a woman that he's not married to, is that worse than if two men have sex? Or if two women have sex? I don't think so. Is it worse for an adult to have sex with a minor in God's economy? I don't think so. Any sexual sin is terrible and to be avoided. Do you remember Jesus when they tested him? The religious leaders brought to him a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. I've always wondered, where was the man? Obviously, if she's caught in the act of adultery, there had to be a guy. I think the poor girl was set up. That story is in John chapter 8, verses 7 through 11, and I'll read from the NIV Reader's Version to you. They kept asking Jesus questions, so he stood up and he said to them, "Has any one of you not sinned? Then you be the first one to throw a stone at her." Those who heard what he said began to go away. They left one at a time, the oldest ones first. Soon only Jesus was left, and the woman was still standing there. Jesus asked her, "Woman, where are they? Hasn't anyone found you guilty?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then I don't find you guilty either," Jesus said. "Go now and leave your life of sin behind." The end. So Jesus gives grace to that girl. Secondly, we always need to do all we personally can to maintain the purity of the gospel of grace. Jesus did that with the guilty woman. He gave grace to her. Disagreements will come. Sometimes they're legitimate, sometimes they're not. But how we handle our side is the important thing. There's nothing we can do about the other person's side in a disagreement. But there is everything we can do from our side. Point number two on our outlines: disagreements are caused by sin. The Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit never disagree. They have never disagreed. They will never disagree. When we get to be where they are, we will live that way too. And I think that sounds like a really good idea. I will like that a lot. But until then, we'll be in a process of becoming more like the three of them. Sometimes the disagreements are just too great to be resolved. I read about this lady named Sally who said, this is joke number two, by the way, "We're having a little disagreement. I want a big church wedding with bridesmaids and flowers and a no expense spared reception, and he wants to break off the engagement." That's my second joke. A on the outline. Disagreements cannot always be immediately cured. Disagreements cannot always be immediately cured. Underline, cannot. A rift between Paul and Barnabas was so sharp that they split up. They will never work with each other again. Think about that. The rift between Paul and Barnabas was so sharp that when they split up, they never worked together again. They never work with each other again after this. That's a nasty breakup. Disagreements do not always have to end like this one between Paul and Barnabas. Often we can work through our differences. What have you found to be helpful in your disagreements? One simple little thing I found that's very useful is time. Taking a step back and letting one's emotions go down. Letting the situation calm down. Take a little time to pray. To just think through what happened. I think this next one might be the biggest life lesson. To look at what is my goal? Where do I want to end up in this conversation? Is my goal that we have to agree? That's unrealistic and unattainable. Is my goal to understand their point of view? That's more realistic. If my goal is to understand exactly what they're saying, when I walk away, do I see and understand what they believe? Am I looking at it, trying to understand from their point of view? When I walk away, do they know that I listened to them, that I cared about what they believe? I don't have to be right, and I don't have to be heard. I could be content to understand their point of view and to walk away and think about it. I wrote that section on Tuesday morning, and then there was Tuesday night. And I don't exactly know what to say about Tuesday night other than that was a big mess. And there was nothing like what biblical discussion should look like. Be on our outline. Paul was standing on the principle of separation. Be on your outline. Paul was standing on the principle of separation. Underline separation. We will look into what Jesus taught. Then we will look at what Paul will teach the church in Corinth. First, let's start with Jesus. It's subtitled, If Your Brother Sinned Against You. This is from Matthew 18:15, and I'll read verse 17. It's red letters. Jesus is actually saying this. If your brother sins against you, go to him. Tell him what he did wrong. Keep it between just the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won him back. But what if he doesn't listen to you? Then take one or two others with you. Scripture says every matter should be proved by words of two or three witnesses. That's from Deuteronomy 19:15. But what if he also refuses to listen to the witnesses? Then tell it to the church. And what if he refuses to listen to the church? Then don't treat him like a born-again brother. Treat him like you would an ungodly person or a tax collector. That's the end. Jesus said, what if he listens to you? Not if he agrees with you, but if he is willing to listen to what you're saying. And the witnesses that observed what happened, you don't tell somebody what you want the witnesses to say. They had to see the disagreement. But if he won't listen to you, won't even consider your point of view, what do you do? So here's the deal. Do people know that I listen to them? Do they know that you listen to them? The goal is understanding, not agreement. Think about it. Not agreement, just understanding each other's point of view. I've got an NIV Reader's Version of 1 Corinthians 5:9 through 11. I wrote a letter to you to tell you stay away from people who commit sexual sins. So here we are back with sexual sins again. Verse 10. I didn't mean people of this world who sin in that way, who always want more and more. I didn't mean those who cheat, those who worship statues of God. In that case, you'd have to leave this whole world. But here is what I'm writing to you. You must stay away from anyone who claims to be a believer and who does those things. Stay away from anyone who claims to be a believer and repeatedly commits sexual sins, or has an attitude of greed, always wanting more and more and more things. Stay away from a person who worships statues of God, of gods, and who lies about this to others. Stay away from anyone who gets drunk and who cheats. Don't even eat with that person. The end. Simply stated, people who don't know the Holy Spirit don't know any better than to sin and want more and more of it. That's how we all started once upon a time. People who have met the Holy Spirit do know better than sin and to want more and more. We need to help both the groups of individuals to know the Holy Spirit better and to become content. See on our outline, Barnabas was standing on the principle of second chances. I tend to be more like Barnabas in this. Barnabas was standing on the principle of second chances, and underline second. Abraham was told to leave his family and go to the promised land. Instead, he took his family with him and went to Haran for 6 years. God spoke to him there again. Moses jumped the gun and murdered a man, spent 40 years in the wilderness because of it, but God spoke to him there in a burning bush. Israel was giving one more chance after another, and you can read about that in the book of Judges. Jonah went the opposite direction from the way God told him to go, but the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but then he's the keynote speaker in Pentecost. These are not lost people. Chuck Swindoll wrote this: when God calls people into his vineyard, he only calls sinful people, each one inadequate in himself, weak and wayward by nature, and could pose for a portrait that would be painted with the lyrics of this beloved hymn: prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. The end of Chuck's quote. Both Paul and Barnabas were seeking to walk by biblical principles. Sometimes both people are right, but have very different principles. So point number 3 on our outline: disagreements can be used for good. We as United Brethren in Christ have a great statement of faith. It has central key doctrinal statements that are not open for change, like the deity of Christ, salvation by grace, the Bible being the truth, and others. From those key points of truth, we give a lot of space to other things that we don't have to agree on. A on your outline: it is not always clear who is right. It is not always clear who is right. It's impossible to say whether Barnabas or Paul was right. In my mind, there's one key thing I wish Dr. Luke would have written down for us, and that's John Mark's attitude. Was John Mark repentant? Did he justify his desertion? Well, we really don't know. If he was repentant, then Paul might have been wrong. But if he wasn't repentant, then maybe Barnabas was wrong. This is my opinion. God does not take sides, he takes over. If we're right because we're standing on biblical truth, it's not us, but the biblical truth that is right. B on your outline: the effect, there are two gospel teams. B, the effect, there are two gospel teams. Underline the effect. Now instead of one team out preaching the gospel, there are two teams out preaching the gospel. See on your outline, John Mark will be restored. In all this big mess, one thing seems clear to me. John Mark was very fortunate that he had a friend like Barnabas. Paul's final greetings are written in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Art is in prison with me. He sends you his greetings. So is Mark. So John Mark shows up here. A cousin of Barnabas. You have been given directions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. The end. So John Mark is in prison with Paul. Paul's personal instructions to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. He helps me in my work for the Lord. The end. So he's telling Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you. He's a big help to me. In the end, we know Mark became a man who redeemed himself. In that maybe because of his friendship with Barnabas. Maybe that was what gave Mark back his self-respect and made him determined to make good. It's true blessing in life to have someone who believes in us. When you find those, they're really a treasure. Barnabas believed Mark, and in the end, Mark justified that belief. A message started with a joke, so it seems fitting to end up with a Dennis Rodman quote. Dennis Rodman said, I wanted to be the best at one thing, rebounding and defense. In basketball, like life, often one wins by how well they rebound. When you're young and learning basketball, they coach you to follow your shot. Go for a rebound. A good player will go after the ball for a second shot. In the Bible, there are a lot of people who miss their first shot. Many of God's servants missed the target and had to deal with the consequences of missing that shot. In fact, a study of the Word of God will turn up many people whom God used who were really on the rebound. I think that encourages humility. Sidney Harris wrote this, agreement makes one soft and complacent. Disagreement brings out our strengths and weaknesses. Our real enemies are the people who make us feel good. So we are slowly but surely pulled into the quicksand of smugness and self-satisfaction. The end. I think he's right. So here are my conclusions. Disagreements will come. They will come from carnality and our commitment to things. They are often caused by sin. And discerning who's right or wrong cannot always be discerned. Maybe we could learn to disagree without being disagreeable. What I personally like in this section of Scripture is that it reveals the real world. The real world is people disagree. My last Chuck Swindoll quote is this. The Bible never flatters its heroes. One moment David is slinging a stone at Goliath, and the next we see him cast his lustful look at Bathsheba. We cheer Peter when he walks away from his nets or gets out of the boat to follow Jesus. But we shake our heads when he denies Jesus the eve of his crucifixion. Scripture paints people realistically, and that's good news. We can identify with these people in the Bible. They're just like us. And if God can use them, he can use us too. Dr. Luke displays Paul and Barnabas in the realism of unflinching light. These two missionaries weren't plaster saints. They were fallible men who were headstrong with their opinions and sometimes clashed hard. That's the end of Chuck Swindoll's quote. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your love and kindness. So thankful to know that you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit never separate over disagreements. Actually, never disagree. You always get along. Oh God, I look forward to the day when we get to live there with you. Until then, would you please reach out of heaven and because of what your Son did, send your Holy Spirit to help us live more surrendered, empowered by His Spirit, so when disagreements come, from our side, we walk in your Spirit, after your Spirit, and do the best we can to demonstrate your love, your grace, your patience, your forgiveness to others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.